you pursuing a natural lifestyle for yourself and your family? Are you concerned about the standard American diet and options available for healthcare? Are you curious about herbs for health or already practice home herbalism? You've come to the right place. My mom, Naomi Kilbrick, is a Christian clinical herbalist and owner of Laura Chi Wellness. She teaches simple ways to live in a more healthy way and to work with plants to promote and restore health. Welcome to the Family Herbalism Podcast.
Welcome back to the Family Herbalism Podcast. Today's episode is going to be the final episode of 2023. My kids and I are taking 2 weeks off from our homeschooling for Christmas vacation, as is our custom. I actually made it my intention early on in the development of Laurel Tree Wellness to take vacations from work when my kids go on school vacation, even though we homeschool. And I found that even though it is a really special thing I can do with my kids, it's also really good for me personally to be able to step back and take a deep breath. I am excited for rest and for the opportunity to work on projects that require more physical movement than rather than quite so much mental and emotional work, which is what is more typical for this time of year working with clients and homeschooling. And I'm also excited for the vision that always develops when I take that space to rest. Before I jump into today's topic, just a little housekeeping to let you all in on. At the time that this episode is being released, I have just begun my vacation. So from here until January 5th, I will not be answering emails or chat support requests. However, my intern Dana Hutchins is on call to assist you. So if you message us for any reason, know that there will be someone to take your call. I am really grateful for the team of people that surround me that really make Laurel Tree Wellness what it is. I could not do this on my own, and so you will definitely be supported even though I will be vacant for a couple of weeks here from Laurel Tree Wellness. When I do come back, Laurel Tree Wellness will be officially 6 years old. And I do intend to offer a mini overview of the big things that have happened over the past year with a vision of what is to come alongside a regularly scheduled episode. I'll just give you a sneak peek into what that includes for the podcast. I have 3 more episodes planned for you in January, including an interview with a very cool guest. And then I'll be starting a brand new season with a special theme that will run for the duration of 2024, and which comes with a really cool opportunity to participate in a group learning program. But I'm going to hold off on telling you more right this minute. For now, let's enjoy the holidays, and without further ado, let's chat about today's topic. Tinnitus is a condition characterized by chronic ringing-type sounds in the ear, and vertigo can be described as intense dizziness that can be accompanied by additional symptoms like nausea and balance issues. And normally these conditions are talked about as separate things, even if they are experienced at the same time by the same individual, who will then see different specialists who give completely disconnected treatments. And yes, they can be two different problems, and they may not occur in the same person at the same time. Either one can be a simple case of nerve damage, or even earwax buildup, or a head injury. But as an herbalist, I have observed a pattern developing in clients who have these conditions together, which are not explained by any of the usual causes. And that's what I'd like to focus on for today. So, when I share about this, know that I do realize there are other possible causes for either or both of these situations, and what I describe here today may not fit your picture. However, the herbs that I discuss may be beneficial to you regardless of the cause of your symptoms, so I would encourage you to stick around just in case. I had a client come in a couple of weeks ago who mentioned that her hearing has been slowly degrading over time, and dizziness is also a symptom she has had, which doesn't seem to be connected to the primary health condition she's experiencing. Keep in mind, she's not even 40 years old yet, which is way too young for hearing to be an age-related problem. So even though she was ready to disregard it as, it runs in the family, this is an age thing, I asked her one key question, which was, what is your blood pressure like? And she said, actually, it's on the low end. And that was the key. Although I have seen one or two cases that do not fit this description, every time I ask someone with these symptoms about their blood pressure, it's always low. Or if I check their blood pressure, it's low or what we would call on the low end of normal, as in under 110 over 70 and sometimes under 100 over 60. So what does blood pressure have to do with dizziness and ringing in the ears? Again, this is a very simple approach to seeing these two symptoms, and I don't want you to think that we're discounting other conditions that can cause them. But if you look at the underlying tissue state, which impacts the general function of the tissues in the body, you start to see patterns and things start falling into place. Low blood pressure is a symptom of what we call in Southern folk medicine, low blood. I talked about it back in season 1, episode 31. Think of it like a circulation issue. If blood is not circulating efficiently and evenly throughout the body, certain areas will receive more even pressure than others. Certain areas will perhaps receive more total blood flow than others. You can even see it in more extreme cases. Consider someone who's just received a big scare. What happens to their face? They turn pale. Why? Because blood flow just got diverted to their muscles so they can run. Or what about someone who is angry? What happens to their face? They turn red. Why? So their brain gets more blood flow to help them process what to do next. Too much and not enough blood flow or uneven blood flow through the body results in symptoms because our bodies know this is not a good way to maintain things. It may be useful for short periods of time, but indefinitely it can get us into big trouble. If a person feels dizzy, it could be a symptom of shock as their body deals with an injury, and that would be understandable, but there's no need for that to be a routine experience, right? So our bodies send the message that something is not right. And in holistic medicine, seeing patterns helps us to bypass the process of diagnoses and giving things a name by isolating symptoms as independent from all others. They help us to see what is the root cause, what ties all of these things together so that we can help our bodies to restore balance. And for many people, again, not everyone, the root cause of vertigo and tinnitus is often uneven blood flow. Blood is maybe even getting a bit stagnant in the lower half of the body and having trouble getting all the way up to the head. All sorts of other symptoms are common in this situation, and I will look for them as well before coming to the conclusion that a client's experience is caused by blood flow. But these are among the red flags that we see first because they're among the most annoying to deal with. Ringing in the ears and dizziness can drive a person to feel crazy, so they look for help. And it's important that the root cause is dealt with to restore function and not just cover up annoying symptoms. If you feel like this describes you, and it may be a good idea for you to work with a holistic care provider to confirm this, then you will likely benefit from working with herbs and foods that support blood flow. These will be herbs that soften and tone blood vessels because chronically imbalanced blood flow can lead to stiff vessels and then to hypertension on the other extreme, as well as herbs that stimulate cardiovascular action so that the blood can get all the way to the head, so to speak, and those that relax the nervous system. We're looking for adaptogens, tonics, and nutritives with an affinity to the cardiovascular system and for relaxant nervines. The reason that I'm emphasizing relaxing nervines here is because a tense nervous system impedes blood flow. Just like stress can result in strong emotions that control where blood collects, we want to tell the nervous system that it doesn't have to redirect blood flow. It can let the heart and blood vessels decide where blood should be for general health. Herbs that stimulate upward movement of blood, increasing circulation around the head area, include licorice, rosemary, ginger, black pepper, red clover, and American ginseng. These restore proper texture of the blood vessels and move blood in a more efficient way. Sometimes I'll use yarrow or clove for this purpose as well, depending on other signs a person has, like cold hands and feet is clove, and varicose veins is yarrow. Some of these herbs are actually very specific for this collection of symptoms. I've seen licorice work well where a person has a combination of low blood pressure, a quiet voice, hearing difficulty, dizziness, and ringing in the ears. Rosemary works well where the mind is negatively impacted by the lack of blood flow to the head. So they have brain fog, they mix words together, forget things that are important, have a tendency to space out, or just feel really tired. Red clover, as well as ground ivy actually, work especially well for these symptoms when they're accompanied by excess mucus in the head, as demonstrated by postnasal drip, wet eyes, sinus pressure, headaches, having to constantly clear the throat, or dull hearing from excess earwax. Two other herbs that every Materia Medica will recommend for vertigo and tinnitus together are black cohosh and golden seal, which can be taken in tincture form to restore function. Other herbs that stimulate blood flow to the head and tone the cardiovascular system include wood betony, hawthorn, reishi mushroom, motherwort, peppermint, feverfew, angelica, ginger, black pepper, and geranium, which I've definitely seen work well applied as an essential oil to the area behind the ear. Other relaxing nervines with an affinity for the cardiovascular system include Monarda, linden, and blue vervain. If you experience tinnitus and vertigo and you have ruled out other causes and can't find the cause, and you know that you do have low blood pressure or slow pulse, maybe you've listened to my heart episode and you feel that low blood makes sense for you, I recommend researching each of the herbs I've mentioned and consider which makes the most sense for you. Choose maybe one or three herbs, perhaps an adaptogen, a cardiac tonic, and a relaxing nervine. Then make a tea or tincture blend using the formulas mentioned in Season 3, Episode 27, and take small doses each day for a few weeks to see how it impacts your experience. You may also find that daily exercise and mindfulness practices help to tone your heart and reduce symptoms such as taking walks and deep breathing exercises. And of course, a healthy lifestyle around food too is really important, in eating a wide variety of fruits and vegetables and antioxidant-rich fruits and vegetables that will help to support blood vessel function and heart function as well. Today's herb focus is licorice, which is one of the first herbs I think of for those with symptomatic low blood pressure. In Latin, it is glyceris glabra. It is demulcent to the reproductive and respiratory systems. It is an expectorant, an emollient, a tonic in general, but especially to the lungs. It is a stimulant. It is an immunoregulator. It is nutritive, antihistamine, anodyne, adaptogen, anti-inflammatory to the respiratory system as well, rejuvenative, laxative, sedative, and emetic in large doses. Most of these you can see have an affinity for the respiratory system, but because it is an adaptogen and because it has an affinity to the chest area, it's also going to be supportive to heart function and getting blood all the way around the body. It is also a stimulant, so it does help with that. As far as preparation goes, the most common dosages are 1 to 2 droppers full of tincture taken 1 to 6 times a day, one time a day being tonic, 6 times a day being for acute situations such as an infection. I prefer to work with much smaller doses, of course, so that would be the 10 to 15 drop range, which is up to half a dropper. And then for syrups, licorice syrup is another way to work with it, and you would take 1 teaspoon 3 to 5 times a day. Any of these remedies that you forms that you take of licorice should really be cut off around the 6 to 8 week mark, because long-term use can potentially increase your heart rate and your blood pressure a little bit too much, especially those who, I mean, if you have a history of hypertension, it may not be appropriate for you unless it's deglycerized or a DGL form anyway. But 6 weeks is a good length of time to be able to see its impact on your body and know that it has tonified and supported your cardiovascular and respiratory system. If you're making it into a tea, the proper dosage would be 1/2 to 1 teaspoon per cup, and you could drink 1 to 3 cups a day, each one brewed for 15 minutes or 8 minutes covered, or taken in powder or capsule form up to 4,000 milligrams daily, but divided into 250 to 500 milligrams throughout the day. And then in Ayurvedic medicine, you would traditionally decoct it in milk, although you can also decoct it in water as well, because it does absorb well into substances that have fat, like milk. So milk fats do help to bring in more of its herbal constituents and benefit you a little bit more. Okay, so cautions. This is not a good fit for earth people in general. So if you've listened to my episode in the different body types, earth people may be more impacted by its the chemicals that cause it to increase blood pressure too much. I would also say not to mix it with berberine-rich plants, because the evidence suggests that it cancels out the effectiveness of each other. If you have a blood sugar imbalance, you will want to monitor your levels, because it can drop your blood sugar enough that the medication, if you're taking any medication, it's going to basically be synergistic and drop your blood sugar more than just the medication alone. DGL is considered the safest form, but there is definitely argument for taking licorice in its whole form rather than deglycerized. Glycyrrhizic acid is the primary active constituent that we're talking about here. And so if you have low blood pressure or low blood, like our focus has been today, then working with licorice in its whole form is probably going to be best for you, and taking a deglycerized form is really removing the point of taking it. Large doses should not be taken or for longer than that, like 6 to 8 weeks, unless you're taking glycine or cysteine proteins along with it, because it can drop your potassium levels a little bit too low, then mess with your electrolyte balances, and in the long run stress out your adrenal glands and heart. Large doses should not be taken by elderly or pregnant women, or those with cardiac, diabetic, or steroid meds. Those who have hypertension or osteoporosis shouldn't work with licorice for long periods, because it prevents absorption of potassium, causing you to store sodium and thus water. But with all of those cautions said, keep in mind that it is a very supportive herb when taken in proper dosages for a good amount of time for your needs. And many conditions, like dizziness, like having ringing in the ears, are going to be resolved when you promote balance well before that 2 month range anyway. And that's just a safe buffer time. It does combine well with non-estrogenic herbs like hops, thyme, and alfalfa. It is a great synergist, which is why we have to use caution with medications. And it goes well with hot and dry herbs to even them out a little, because it is cooling and moistening. So if you're wanting to work with anise or ginger for colds, cardamom, fennel, these are all very warming, and combining it with licorice can be really nice. And in fact, you'll often see that a lot of pre-blended teas that you might buy at the grocery store, like those for sore throats, will have licorice in them. It is cultivated, and it's also native to prairies near wetlands. It likes water, and oftentimes we see that those plants that grow well near wetlands are well suited to respiratory conditions, which licorice is quite well known for. we harvest it in the fall and take from the roots. That's the part that we work with, or the rhizomes that grow sideways off the main root. Its constituents are glycyrrhizic acid, flavonoids, isoflavonoids, chalcones, and saponins. And its taste is noticeably sweet. If you drink it in a tea, you're going to know that it's there. And actually, that can really come in handy if you are working with a remedy for a child, maybe, or someone who has a sweet tooth and has a hard time drinking tea. Licorice, if it's appropriate for them, can really help to make drinking the tea a little bit more enjoyable. It does have a slight bitterness to it. It can be a little bit moistening or drying depending on the tissue state that is needed, and it can also be warming or cooling depending on what is needed by the body. There are lots of indications for working with licorice. So one of its primary actions is that it soothes mucous membranes of the respiratory and digestive tracts, which means that in any case where you have a general debility of the respiratory or digestive system, it's going to help bring down irritation and inflammation and soreness of those areas. Including hyperacidity, so it can help with heartburn even. It can help to soothe irritated cough spasms. I have one client who is a singer who enjoys working with licorice to help strengthen her voice, and I've seen that work well with other clients as well. It can help with dry coughs, laryngitis, ulcers in the stomach. It does enhance adrenal functions and aids in secreting cortisol. So short-term use, it's actually really good for adrenal glands. It's long-term use that can put a strain on adrenal functions. It does help to soothe the kidney passages as well, the mucous membranes there, so painful urination. It can help with abdominal pain, so it is really great in cold blends or for supports through any kind of virus. It supports the immune system and it helps with some of the symptoms from it. It does nourish the brain because it increases cerebral and cranial fluids, which just makes brain function a little bit easier. And of course, it aids blood flow to the brain. And emotionally, it helps to promote peace. Back to the stomach, it helps to speed digestion. It reduces heat, dryness, and tension, again, looking at tissue states, and it helps to clear and improve vision, hair, complexion, and muscular strength because of its impact on the electrolytes. It helps to support those with hypothyroidism or chronic fatigue, any kind of chronic illness, fibro. It liquefies excess mucus. So again, we're looking at some of those symptoms of tinnitus and dizziness being related to excess mucus in the head, and it helps to clear that out. It helps to promote mental clarity, again, because it's promoting both cranial, cerebral fluids and blood flow. It is also, back to kidneys, it helps to ease the passages, which means it's also supportive for releasing kidney stones. And then it helps to reduce fevers and the effects of that, including chills, joint pain, and yeah, so lots of great benefits working with licorice. And that about wraps it up for this episode and for this year. Thank you all for listening to today's episode and for being a listener of the Family Herbalism Podcast in 2023. Really, to think that natural health and herbalism are growing in normalcy in our country, and then I get to watch it happen among my listeners, is such a blessing. And I just hope that you are blessed this Christmas season with good health and peace and much joy with your loved ones. If you would like to work with me one-on-one, please visit www.laureltreewellnessllc.com to learn more about my consultations and to schedule a visit for the new year. And I'll get back to you about any questions that you have as soon as I return from vacation. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
The Family Herbalism Podcast is created for educational purposes only. You are responsible for any and all medical and health decisions you choose to make. If you experience a medical emergency, please contact appropriate medical providers. To receive herbalist support, please visit www.laureltreewellnessllc.com. If you enjoy this podcast and find it helpful, please share it with your friends and family. Thank you for listening.